Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We're brothers. We're happy and we're singing and we're happy.
It's Jason and John on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Presented live and locally by the Wing Guru. The Wing Guru.
Hey, who that, man, this what you've been waiting for. I mean, the game was all bad just a week ago. Rappers was listening, I ain't hating, no, because now I'm getting hot enough to f*** with one and stay at home. And she can't tell the difference. I've been through hell conditions, wishing for air conditioning, feeling God was never listening. Now I'm on television. And did I fail to mention? Your girl is hot, a missionary, boy, you failed the mission. Speaking of positions, just witness how I elevated. Real if you celebrate it, finger poke whoever hated. My life accelerated, but had to wait my turn, then I redecorated. That mean my table turned. Live life, might as well. Only way to learn is try and fail. Clientele, the only way to earn. So if you're selling, or if you're selling rap, make sure it's mean so the fiends keep on selling back. Who that got that flame? Who that got that flame? Who that got that flame? So don't worry about my name. I gotta say,
you're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN, and yes, we are here and happy to be here on this January 21st, on this Monday. Yes, we are, John Martin. We are. I said it last year. Martin Luther King Jr. would be proud today to see a white man and a black man and another white man across the glass all working together. We have our arguments, right? Sometimes we want to wring each other's neck. But what do? We come back together as brothers.
Yes.
As brothers.
But let me ask you this. What would MLK say about us being the only ones at work today?
He'd say y'all grinding.
Would he be as proud of that?
Look, dude. He'd say y'all grinding. He'd be proud.
He'd say, all right, fair enough.
Dude, it's a blessing be able to work.
No, yes,
and
it is.
As well as to work on this day.
You're exactly right.
Look at it
right.
That way, bro.
No, you're exactly right.
And we're blessed.
And if it's important to you, it's important to me.
Brothers.
That's right.
All right.
So we have a massive show today. What a weekend in sports it was. Conference championship weekend delivered and then some yesterday. For the first time in the era of the Super Bowl, both conference championship games went to overtime. I was stuck on my couch for 8 straight hours, as I imagine the rest of you were.
Mm-hmm.
You could not turn away from those games yesterday. And, of course, now everybody's going to talk about the overtime rules and pass interference rules. But it was a great day of football.
Yeah, and they're both great games.
Our Super Bowl is set, ladies and gentlemen. It is Rams-Patriots in the Super Bowl in a couple weeks. We'll get to that in just a minute. We're Miss Cleo on this show. I mean, we are psychics on this show. And I know a lot of people like to throw their little rocks, throw their little pebbles at us. They like to say fake news. Uh-uh. We told you the Super Bowl 6 months before the Super Bowl ever took place. We'll get to that in just a minute. Here's what we've got going on the show today. At 11:25, we're going to be joined by Memphis basketball assistant coach Mike Miller.
Okay.
He had the scout on Saturday, and the Tigers, what the numbers will agree, was the most complete performance by that team all year long.
I literally think you stole my tweet. You were in my brain before. I think you tweeted like 4 minutes before I did.
Yeah.
Most complete performance we've seen. Yeah, it was just that obvious.
You could have. I know you're right.
You got
for
all the
athletic
love for it.
You could have just hit that with a retweet.
Yeah, I just should have retweeted you, huh?
And I'm talking about just don't even add a comment, bro. Just hit the retweet button.
I didn't even see. I don't follow you during games. I just kind of focus on my own
thing. You don't follow me.
But it shows you, man. Great minds think alike.
That's right. Well,
it's just that obvious.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. Was that they
to tell you the truth.
Now, in fairness, Jarray Foster was out for SMU, and you have to acknowledge that. But Memphis clamped down defensively, and they were their usual selves offensively.
Yeah. And good to talk to Mike.
Yeah, and that's how you get away with a 20-point win, basically.
Big week coming
against
up
against SMU. Yeah, very big week for the Tigers. We'll talk to Mike Miller about that. We'll talk to him about the throwbacks. Oh, my gosh. The throwbacks.
Yeah, they're pretty clean.
I mean, I was like, I was excited and I was anxious about how they would look because, you know, it's happened before, but never like that. Those were – no school in the country has throwbacks better than those.
No, they were so – and maybe it's the – you know, when Josh and that team wore the 73 ones that Finch and that squad wore, that sort of had that cool Memphis logo on them, you know, sort of the cursive writing. You know, they were nice to look at, but you didn't get – maybe it's because I didn't live through that.
Yeah.
I didn't get the same nostalgia feel that you do
exactly.
because I grew
exactly.
up seeing them in those uniforms.
That's
so
exactly,
so
exactly
now I feel
right.
for the people that saw it back then, 70s, yeah, they probably got that same feeling too when Josh wore those uniforms. But, yeah, it was awesome, man, and those uniforms are, as Kareem Bruton put it, too cold.
Now, if you really wanted to complete the look, they should have been in Converse.
No, we don't do that around here anymore. I don't know if you got the memo, but we're all
school.
Nike now.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Signature.
Yeah,
I
understand
as your head coach.
I understand there are some things that
that's what cons around here anymore.
Get in the way of that. But yes, we'll talk to Mike Miller about all of that and more at 11:25. 12:25, Jason Fitz is going to join us. We will talk to him about the weekend that was in the NFL. The Super Bowl is set. We'll get his thoughts on the games. Listen, he tweeted last night. He kind of stepped in it when he said, you know, it's not about, you know, the Saints and the Chiefs did not lose because of a coin flip. That's not why they lost. They lost because their defense didn't ultimately, you know, get the stops.
Well, the Saints also got robbed.
The Saints got robbed. But there's so many layers to that conversation, though.
That's true.
And so I'm sure we'll get to all of it here in just a moment. Jason Fitz is going to join us at 12:25. Real quick, before anything else, did you see the Super Wolf Blood Moon?
No.
I think actually it's the Super Blood Wolf
Let's
Moon.
Let's get it Sorry. Right first.
The Super Blood Wolf Moon. Did you go outside?
I did
in your
not,
home?
Mr. Wizard. I didn't get to see it. What
Why
time?
Call you call me a wizard?
I called you Mr. Wizard.
Yeah, I know.
Because you're our
that
science
seems
guy.
Antagonistic.
No,
though.
No. Every time. I mean, you're into the science. You're into the weather. And no, I didn't get out there and see it last night. Was it as cool as it's all cracked up to be?
Yeah.
I saw pictures of it.
So this is going to be the last time you'll be able to see, a total lunar eclipse in the United States until 2022. You'll be able to see it in other parts of the world in May 2021.
Mm-hmm.
Not until 2022 will you be able to see this again. And I'm not sure if it'll be red either. It was something to see. Like, you didn't need a telescope. You didn't need to, like, I mean, you saw it was red. It was about 11 o'clock. I was on Facebook, and I had everybody on my Facebook saying, you got to go outside. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It's such an awesome event. Don't cheat yourself out of this. So I went outside. My backyard's cold as hell, and it's red. And it's red. It was amazing. And I'm a little saddened that you didn't allow CJ to get a glimpse because he deserved it.
He's in the bed.
Know,
he's got a birthday to celebrate today.
You gotta
get him in the bed. I'm sorry we missed it. We didn't get outside. It's a little cold.
Well, May 2020. I don't know if it might not be May, but 2022 is the next one.
Okay,
so
I'll be there.
I will keep you updated.
I hope I'm there.
All right. Super Bowl set, ladies and gentlemen.
All right.
Rams, Patriots. Of course, you didn't need yesterday to happen to know that was going to be the case. Why not? Because on September 6th, 2018, how many months ago was that? Four and a half months? Four and a half months ago, if you listened to this show, you would have known. Check the tape. So my Super Bowl pick is going to be Patriots-Rams. That's what I believe.
Boy, I'd love to pick somebody just other than the Patriots just to do it.
But how can you?
It's hard to.
Steelers with no Le'Veon Bell, I mean, you just can't.
Nah. It's just safe. You gotta go Pats on the AFC side and the NFC. I'm gonna go Rams because I think they're the best team.
Yeah, I mean that'd be a great Super Bowl if it happened.
Absolutely.
Then do you have a different
high octane?
I'm going Saints, Patriots, Saints 31, Patriots 28.
We don't need to hear the wrong prediction.
I was robbed. My prediction
we don't need
was
to hear the
right
wrong
prediction.
One. Well, you could have cut that one off.
Kind of were robbed. That's
my
true.
Prediction was the prediction,
but you
that
also had a
right
chance
one.
To win it in overtime and be right. And
right. Did not happen. Did not happen.
That didn't happen.
That's exactly right.
So
on September the 6th, we both predicted
that's amazing.
The Super Bowl. We are in unison here, and that is exactly how it played out.
In fairness, and I need to probably say that, I had changed over to the Saints
yes.
once they got home field.
I changed
because
over,
that's
too.
What they did.
Yes, I changed over, too, but it doesn't matter.
For the record, we need
yeah,
to make sure we...
doesn't matter.
Yeah, but
okay,
you have the tape.
We picked. That's our preseason pick.
It's pretty amazing, but I think pretty much everybody was picking that, too.
Again, though, how many times can
it's a safe bet.
Nobody was picking the Chiefs before the season. You even talked about it. The closest thing we thought might be Pittsburgh. We brought up the Le'Veon thing.
Right.
So nobody, it was the Pats to pick. You heard me. There wasn't another AFC team to pick, was my point.
People picked the Saints. You thought the Falcons were going to win the
division.
I'm
telling you, they picked from three teams. Saints, Rams, Patriots. I'm pretty much sure. I'm just, I don't want to take as much credit as you will for that.
There are people who make millions of dollars on ESPN who could not get that right.
Well, we were like, we were basically like Tony Romo. We told you what was going to happen.
Who could not get that right. All right, let's start in the first game.
Okay, sir.
Of the day, which was.
Let me straighten up.
Rams, Saints. Rams win the game 26-23. Zuerlein, what was it, a 57-yarder?
57. It's nice to have a field goal kicker that's going to knock it through there every
and
time it,
there
you put
was
him out
never
there.
Even a doubt.
No, there's no
there
doubt with Greg Zuerlein.
It would have been good from 65.
Thanks, Bennett, for the memories.
He did not miss that one. It would have been good from perhaps 70.
Can't blame it all on Parkey, can we, because he got blocked.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to take that as some sort of solace.
It does show you like the significance of having a kicker like Zuerlein.
It had my Bears friend and me discussing this weekend whether or not you should spend one spend a draft pick on a kicker. Just one that you think is sure that you now, you know, I know Aguayo got picked, I think the last one was in you know, was a super bust, but you know, if you got any inkling that you're getting a you know, Robbie Gould type or a Greg Zuerlein.
Well, the Raiders drafted Sebastian Janikowski
back
in the first round.
And you got ridiculed for it when it happened.
But he turned out to be
one of the best kickers in NFL history, let's be real.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying. If it comes down to a fourth or fifth rounder and I can, you know, avoid having a Parkey that's going to hit the uprights every time he kicks it, maybe it's worth it. That's just the point. It's nice to have a kicker.
Now, let's stipulate this. The Saints were robbed.
No question.
They were screwed in the sense that they should have maintained possession of the ball. It should have been an automatic first down at the spot of the foul. It was a clear pass interference.
Yes.
He missed it.
It was also, what in the world?
The ref missed it. He's right. The ref
missed it. I guess.
The ref blatantly missed it.
When you play that for me, you know what it means. It's Parkey.
Yeah, it's PTSD.
So it hurts me a little bit, Bennett. But the other thing about it, too, to your point, Rams at that point have one timeout. So you get that at that point. You're running that thing down
to
4 seconds left.
Absolutely.
You're kicking that field goal.
Yep.
The game is over.
Yep.
And
yep.
If you heard Sean Payton after the game, you know, league calls him, hey, man, we blew it. We absolutely blew it. Mm-hmm. Not only should that have been a pass interference, Sean Payton, that should have been a helmet-to-helmet.
Yep.
Oh, thanks a lot, brother.
Yeah, no, it's like
there's two penalties out there that you missed now.
Makes me feel a whole lot better
thanks,
about
that
it.
Really helps me feel really good about this one.
Now,
So awful.
Yeah, so let's say that.
You got to be able to call that. Like,
absolutely.
Period.
The Saints got screwed on that no call.
No question.
However.
That was a game. That was game over. That was the game, John.
There was a lot that had to happen after the fact for the Rams to win that game. Let's also acknowledge.
There's a couple of things before, too. But go ahead. Let's do the after first.
The 13-0 lead that the Saints blew.
Well, that, but particularly Sean Payton deciding on first down to throw that ball. And it was a short little pass, but it ends up being – it's something they do. They probably complete 98 out of 100 times.
Yep.
But they end up with the incomplete pass. It's a short throw, and you stop – the clock stops.
Yep.
And instead of just playing football one-on-one, you're running the clock down at that point. You're forcing the other team to use its final timeouts. And, again, you're in a situation, John, where that pass doesn't even come up. The penalty doesn't come up because you've already run the time down, and hopefully for you, you've kicked a field goal there late, not left much time.
Right.
But he blew it with his aggressiveness beforehand, too. But you could also make the argument that Sean Payton was like that all year long.
That's why they're there.
And that's why they were there.
You got to live with that.
You have to live with
now,
it. Drew Brees usually gets that done.
Now, this wasn't relevant in this particular play on this particular drive, but I will say, like, I hate when the Saints bring out Taysom Hill. I hate it. Like, why? Why
we're going to show you we got
ball?
A secret weapon, yeah, like, and he's effective.
Why
do
you put the ball in the hands of a quarterback not named Drew Brees?
I'm with you.
You know, and every time it's the same play, he just runs the ball.
Mm-hmm.
You know, anyway, my point is, yes, they end up stopping the clock. They have to settle for the Will Lutz 31-yarder. He hits it. There's 1:41 left in the game.
It's true.
So the Saints are still ahead at this juncture. It's not like they were down. You know, and that cost them a chance to, you know, tie or win the game there.
Yeah.
They were ahead. They were tied at that point, but they ended up going ahead. And they still had to – the defense still was on the field with the chance to stop the Rams. And they could not.
Yes.
And they could not. And so I think that is probably not being talked about enough.
Well, and then you get it in overtime, and you get it first, and you throw the interception.
I mean, John,
I get all that, and you're right. And I'll even throw into you the decision by Peyton, like I said beforehand, in that same series to throw on first down when you should be running out the clock. All of that said, because if you get that penalty, that game is over.
Yeah.
There's no more three, four, five, six plays after that to be determined.
Yeah.
That game's over because you're running that clock down to 4 seconds, whatever it is,
yeah.
and you're kicking that field goal.
It's over. The game ends.
The game ends.
The game ends.
And so that is the, to me, that's the trump card on everything.
Lutz, you know,
yes, assuming he makes the short one.
Right.
I mean, and at that point, it's closer than an extra point.
Right.
So to me, that's the trump. That's why today you have to be. I'm more on that and fixing that because that's an obvious one than I am the whole overtime. You know, there's an overtime rules argument too today, applying to sort of the how come Mahomes didn't get a chance, all that too. I'm more on this one. I don't care if it comes 2 minutes after the fact. Those referees had a chance to huddle there.
Right.
Everybody in the dome, everybody on television sees it.
How?
Usually, John, when something like that goes, and the closest guy doesn't call it,
you get the
flags from everybody else.
No doubt.
Even if they're late.
Even if, like, I mean, Tom Brady got a freaking call, and he got, like, a pinky touched his shoulder pad.
Thank you. So to that point, I don't care if it's later on, if it's after a huddle, if it's 3 minutes later, just as long as it's before the next play, you throw that flag because what you're going to have is that you are right. You are on the right side of it. It's the right call.
And there was so much contact. That any official on any part of the field, like, you have to, like, huddle and say, hey, there's a lot of contact here. Are we sure? Was the ball tipped? Like, because clearly that's what they thought. They thought the ball was tipped. And I saw a tweet today that the NFL is now looking into making pass interference reviewable. But I do think that kind of is going to open up a can of worms.
And particularly when it's on the line. I don't care if it's in the final 2 minutes or whatever, but you have to be able to, when it's that obvious, to assess a flag late, to assess a penalty late.
Or a non-penalty,
Because, John, all we've done is added to it, is the point I made on Twitter last night, all we've done is add these timeouts, all the cameras, the goal line cam, to get it right.
Right.
You've added already. And so this whole thing about, I love the human element of officiating, stop it. Because that does we've done so much the game already to slow it down, whatever, just to get it right. You got to get it right, particularly when you're at this big a point in the season. Everything comes down to this. You're talking about guys been, going since the summer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these practices, everything else, you play the games. What do you tell those vets? That it came down to one ref not blowing that whistle. All that sweat and blood and fighting all year long for home field.
Yeah.
Like, I know they had other opportunities to win. I know Sean Payton was reckless throwing that pass on first down. But that game was over, and they should be in the Super Bowl. So if I'm a Saints fan today, particularly the ones that went there, the Dome, and maybe you spent, once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, you take your son, whatever, you got to explain to your family, man, this one came down to a blown call that – the NFL should have gotten right, and you have to fix that.
Yeah.
That's what the obvious you need to be able to fix.
And then on the other side, so Rams move ahead. They obviously, like you said, they get the interception of Drew Brees there in overtime, and then they win with a 57-yard field goal from Greg Zuerlein that was never in doubt. So they win the NFC Championship. They're going to the Super Bowl. On the other side.
Crazy is Gurley didn't do anything. They still win.
No, I mean, I feel like we got more C.J. Anderson than we did.
The man had like 13 yards from scrimmage.
Yeah, like
and they still won.
He's hurt. To me, there's no doubt about it. Like, he's banged up.
The one TD, but nothing else.
No, they've done a good job.
The pass that got picked off.
I mean, there's no coincidence they've been working in C.J. Anderson, the last few weeks.
He's not right. You're absolutely right. I didn't mean to interrupt, but I had to point out Gurley.
It's true. They won that game with nothing from Todd Gurley.
And he was everything for them all year.
On the other side, in the AFC Championship, I think it's a classic game.
Yeah.
I mean, classic championship game. I mean, a true duel of quarterbacks. A true duel of quarterbacks with Tom Brady, and Father Time on one side, and then, new blood, super blood, Wolf Moon, Patrick Mahomes on the other.
He threw another no-look pass.
Did I just see him throw it again? Wasn't it?
Yes, and this time he dropped it. Like, I don't think he was ready.
Yeah.
And it comes no-look, and he's doing this in playoff games, John, with everything on the line. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. And honestly, there are going to be, there was a lot of controversy whether Julian Edelman touched the ball. Thankfully, that didn't end up looming very large because You know, they got the interception two plays later.
Right.
Could have, but didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I guess you can come down on both sides. I thought it touched his thumb.
Oh, they got that one right.
I thought it touched his thumb.
But you got both views on each side and each thumb.
On one view, it looks like it does, and on another, it looks like it
doesn't. But once they come from the side, both thumbs out of it.
How does it not touch his thumb?
I don't know how it doesn't. But Edelman wouldn't have been immediately as, I didn't touch it if you did. There's an acting, and that button has to be pushed in your brain, and it takes you a minute to flip.
But if you like
the entire time, he knew he didn't touch it. It's like even though he tried.
It's like in basketball. If the ball touches your jersey, you're gonna be like, it didn't touch me. It didn't touch me. You know, I would ask.
No, you're gonna be like the dude in the video.
No, I'm not.
You're gonna be like, coach.
Hell no. No way.
That ball touched me.
Yeah, Julian.
And that coach gonna tell you did the right thing, brother.
Sportsmanship. Julian Edelman's gonna go to the
coach. Don't you remember that commercial? No, I'm
it
telling you.
Me.
No,
there would have really been did touch me.
The little moment of acting that he would have had to turn on, John, you would have seen it in that.
It's the Patriots.
That
they
instant.
Are conditioned to do this,
dude.
Okay?
He didn't touch the ball.
I think it was close. Anyway, it didn't matter. It did not.
No,
matter.
No, it did not. You're
because
right.
Because they got the
can't
pick
get stuck on that,
and they ended up converting it. So this is simply Tom Brady, and that's all you can say.
Yeah.
When you have the ball inside the 5-yard line with a chance to take the lead, I need you to seriously consider kneeling at least two downs. Like, you got to consider taking time off the field.
The whole time, and I were texting about this, and all you kept saying was, well, Mahomes going to have enough time. And I'm like, well, Brady's going to end up with some time late. And you leave him with anything, particularly two minutes
and a couple timeouts.
It's what the GOAT does.
I mean, there's never even a suspension of disbelief.
No.
Every time you know he's going to go down the field and score.
KC had his chances. I mean, they had him on third down in overtime, and I think three times the Pats converted. They look tired. I mean, they were worn down in overtime, and Tom drives them down, 75 yards before they get the touchdown run. And, you know, Mahomes doesn't get a chance. And I know those overtime folks are out there today saying, hey, you know, a guy like Patrick Mahomes who, like, we point out no-look pass. They scored 24 points in the fourth quarter. Like, he is amazing, right? His poise at that age, right? It's amazing. I know it's unfortunate he didn't get a chance to go out there.
Right.
But – If you want to go that direction, Saints got ball first.
Yep.
They throw the pick. Like, it doesn't always go that way.
Agreed.
It doesn't always go the first team that gets it wins it. So I don't – you know, if you come to me with some better solution, I'm all ears on listening.
Right.
But I get tired of the –
We're going to do sort of 25 like college?
We're
going
to start over in some new rule, and now we're going to follow college.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Yeah.
If it's an –
I mean,
it's
college is fun,
good,
though. College is fun.
It is. It is. It
undeniably is fun.
Maybe it's the best fix.
But
again,
I'm
all ears to it, but let's not just keep changing it every 3-4 years because of a certain situation. Again, it doesn't always go this way.
Right.
We hadn't complained about it until now. You know,
it's
we hadn't brought it up again until now.
Tom Brady does it again.
Jesus. This will be the one to win and ride out, right? You don't come back
that
if
man
you win.
That man
what?
Ain't riding out on a win. He's going to come back and try to repeat.
He already said he wanted to play like a
man,
couple
he,
more
no,
years.
No,
yeah. He will
no,
never leave.
Don't do that, Tom.
Why will he leave?
Because this is you ride out like the old Spice Man, the man on the horse. You ride out after this one.
I'm not going to believe.
He's 41.
Dude, I'm not going to believe
he's been
that
so emotional
until it actually
here.
Happens, man. I just don't believe it. I don't believe it. He'll retire when Bill Belichick retires. If you're telling me Bill Belichick's retiring, yes, he'll retire. But unless that's happening, no chance. I think Gronk retires. I think this is it for Gronk. I think Gronk rides out on his
man. That dude looks like he's 50 out there running.
Yeah.
Now. He's just a blocker.
I think that happens.
Had that one big catch.
But ladies and gentlemen, I know you're shocked. We're getting Tom Brady in another Super Bowl. It's just like it happens every time.
Do you know the two other teams that have been to three straight Super Bowls? One is easy. You should.
Well, 49ers, right?
No. No. One went to four. I want to make that one as easy as possible for you. Four straight.
The Bills, right?
Okay. The other one?
The Bears?
No.
Who?
AFC East, Dolphins, 71-73, yeah.
Huh. The 49ers never went to three straight?
Nope.
That surprises me a little bit.
Dolphins and Bills, all AFC East teams that have been to three straight, if you can believe it.
How about that?
Yep.
All right, we'll come back. Mike Miller's going to join us. We will talk to him about the University of Memphis. We'll talk to him about NBA. By the way, it is official. Tennessee is the number one team in the country.
Hey, congrats.
Tennessee, I know this is a little shocking to you that it's not Ole Miss today, but you'll have
man.
To settle for a different SEC
Tennessee
team.
Deserves it, and guess what? Last time they were ranked number one.
They lost it in one day.
They had it for 1 week. They lost to Vandy. Guess who comes up on Wednesday?
Is it Vandy?
Vandy.
Wow. All right, we'll talk to Mike Miller when we come back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Guests appear on the Sportsbook at First Jackpot Hotline.
Broadcasting on 92.9, 680 AM and online at 92.9ESPN.com. This is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wing Guru, only on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Mike Miller is an NBA champion. He's a former Memphis Grizzly, and now he's an assistant coach over at the University of Memphis basketball program. He joins us now. Coach Miller, what's going on? How are you, man?
How's it going, Coach?
Great. How y'all doing?
Is Tom Brady the GOAT?
He sure keeps telling people he is by what he does on the field. I'll tell you that much.
You enjoy
it. Pretty fun to watch, isn't it?
I was going to ask, do you enjoy watching him go to work as a competitor?
I do. I do, because I can kind of understand just seeing the level of where he's at and what he's doing. I saw it with Bron, just the pressure that's on him. Just seeing him deliver like that is crazy. And he's done it for a long, long time. He definitely is in the conversation.
Well, you know, it's funny because, you know, 2 weeks ago when they advanced to the conference championship game, he says in the post game, you know, everybody thinks we suck and that we can't win any games. And, like, nobody thinks that. I don't think anybody thinks that. But I'm just like as a competitor, because you were there. I mean, you've won NBA championships, so you know what it's like to be the quote-unquote hunted. Do you have to almost tell yourself and motivate yourself in unorthodox ways? Like how does that work?
I mean, obviously, he's, you know, for a person like him who's been there so many times, he's probably finding ways to fuel himself. Like his press conference last night, said he never had more fun in his career. So he's just finding ways to get him to that level. And, you know, as you get older, as the doubts start sinking in, you know, for him especially, you know, there's kind of the doubt sinking in. They're not talking about his past performance or how good he was. But they're talking about, you know, can he do it at this age? And the doubt's starting to—they're starting to look at things like that, and he's starting to fuel himself that way. And it's impressive to see that he still does it at this level. The older and the older he gets.
Coach, we were throwing this around last week, though. I want to get you to weigh in real quick on it. 8 straight finals for LeBron or 8 straight AFC title games for Brady? Which one to use the more impressive feat? Most people were picking Brady. Would you go LeBron? That's the way I went.
I do think it's Bron, and I'm gonna tell you why. I think, you know, for the NBA, it's so. I mean, you go both ways on this. It's a hard argument. I can see why it's been a good one. It just to me, you got to win 4 games. Got to go on the road. You got to travel. It's a lot more games. A lot more chance for injury. Mm-hmm. Obviously, football is such a high impact, you know, game where you get hurt a lot. But for Bron and those guys, I mean, you got to win 4 games in the first round, 4 games in the second round, 4 games each of conference finals, then get to the final. I mean, you got to win 12 games before you're even there. It's just the stress level, the long period. I just think after playing 82 games, mm-hmm. that to me is so impressive. Now both of them are amazing. But look at Brady. He's going to win 3 games and be in the finals, or 2 games and be in the Super Bowl.
Yep.
So it's just to me, just the impact of playing 82 games, 48 minutes a game for, you know, another, let's say 20 games just to get there. It's just, to me, that's an impressive feat. But we're not sitting here saying either of them aren't impressive. I just think Bron's is more impressive.
For how many of those did he have Mike Miller, though? You know what I'm saying? It makes it a little easier when you got Mike Miller, right?
Hey, let me tell you something. It makes it a lot easier when you have Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh. Mike Miller was pom-poms.
Yeah. Was Saturday the most complete performance you guys have had this year, in your opinion?
Yeah, from start to finish, for sure. I mean, our energy level was up. We did it on the defensive end. Obviously, we've been preaching a lot for us to be successful and for us to have a chance to play into March. It's going to have to take a lot of our defensive effort. We've never had any problems scoring all season. But, you know, for these guys to start buying in and understanding the defense is very important for us to come out and make that statement. The first, you know, I think it was first 3 or 4 minutes, they didn't score any points. It ignites our offense, gets things going. So, you know, they're starting to understand that what we've been saying is just not, you know, there's not word of mouth that it actually works, and it's fun to see these guys buying in and taking it to heart.
Mike, as assistant coach, I just want to, after a game like that, a performance like that, what are your eyes on the box score, the first thing you want to see, and I guess the number that jumps out to you most? Was it the 24 assists? Is it holding them to 5 second chance points? Like, what does Mike Miller want to see first in that box score after a win like that?
Well, I think for me, I'm looking at a lot of things, but the most important things are the things that have been ailing us all year, which is offensive rebounds have been killing us. Mm-hmm. We did very well on the offensive glass.
Yep.
Obviously, assists being up is great. You know, I think I talk to these kids a lot, and we talk a lot as a staff. I'm a big believer in a lot of your offense also hurts your defense. So quick early shots, 24 assists was great. That means we're sharing the ball, we're moving the ball. Points in the paint I'm big on, winning the foul line I'm big on. So, you know, things like that, when we do those things, when we control those four areas, we're pretty good. Transition defense, they're a great transition offensive team, SMU and a rebounding team. We took two of those things out, which makes us very, very hard to beat. So, you know, I was just proud of the guys. They stuck to the game plan. Our game plan discipline has been up and down all year, but they've gotten better and better, and they were great against SMU on Saturday.
We are, of course, talking to Mike Miller, assistant coach over there at the University of Memphis. This is your first season coaching in college. You're basically halfway through the season. How much have you personally learned about the profession and this job and your role specifically, you know, at Memphis?
I've learned a lot. You know, for anything, when you walk into something new, you know, it's not so much the knowledge of basketball you learn. You learn how to relate to kids. You learn what some kids can you know, how some kids learn and how other kids, it's different for everybody. I found out how fragile it is to win on the road, how hard it is to win on the road. It's a lot different than the NBA in that fact. Road wins are like gold in college basketball. You know, and so that's different. It's different to see how these guys, you know, you assume they know things that they don't. So it's like teaching, and it's been a lot of fun. Just the challenge of that's been fun to me. We have great kids. They want to learn. They want to get better. So it's been a joy so far.
Does Florida have throwbacks like that?
Ooh.
I don't think Florida's got throwbacks like that, right? I will say this,
those jerseys were sick. They look good. They look really, really good on Saturday.
You know, people are really always superstitious about, like, when you try to change the uniforms up, you know? And, like, I think everybody just wants to wear those from now on.
I wouldn't be opposed to it. I think that's gonna have to be someone's gonna have to answer that a lot higher up than me. But I think I wouldn't be opposed to it for sure.
Coach, I got James Harden's averaging 48.8 points over the last five. You ever think you'd see anything like this? Seriously.
No, I'll tell you what the most amazing thing is. I don't know the exact number, and I'm sure you guys do. It's some crazy number of like 178 straight points where he hadn't even been assisted.
No assists.
That to me.
Yes.
That to me is the most amazing. I'm thinking to myself, you're trying to tell me someone just didn't fumble a pass to him and he made it? Like 178. I think it's close to that number. I don't know what the number exactly is.
Yeah.
But either it doesn't matter what it is. When you start getting in the hundreds and you haven't had a guy pass you or assist you on a basket, that's the most amazing thing I've ever seen. And now they're starting to talk about ways to guard him and do things.
Yeah.
He's doing this out with Chris Paul, Clint Capella. You know, it's really, he's a scoring wizard, and it's fun to see it. And I never thought I'd see something like this, for sure. Kobe was the closest
yep.
to it.
As a coach, would you welcome the chance to try to stop that, you know, to be the team that stopped that one night? Or, you can't go in fearing it, right? You got to go into it and accepting the challenge. But wouldn't you, like, welcome that trying to, you know, because it's one guy. To your point, Mike, everybody's out. It's one dude. You got to stop one dude.
What? Let me ask you this real quick before I answer that. What's the? Because I haven't been paying as much attention to it as I should probably. What's their record through that month? Their team record.
Well, the last five in these games that he's averaging almost 50, Mike, they're 3-2. Now, but to your point, since Chris has been out, I don't have the record in front of me. But I mean,
they've started playing better.
They are.
Yeah,
they've turned it around.
They're playing better than they did to start the year.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say, I mean, listen, your job, you know, it's always the catch-22, and I saw it when we played in Miami, right? Like, the biggest thing is, okay, do you let LeBron James, do you let James Harden go for 50 and control the others,
do you
win the game? So my biggest thing is, as a coach, you know, do you want to stop him? Yeah, it gives you a better chance to win. If he has an off night, obviously he's always been a high-volume type guy. when he's doing it, you know, shooting high numbers, it's really, really hard. When he's doing it, getting a lot of free throws, it's really, really hard.
Right.
What you got to do with James Harden is you pick your poison. Are you sending guys like the Lakers did? The Lakers did a really, really good job for 3.5 quarters.
Mm-hmm.
They're sending guys at him, making other guys beat him. They didn't make shots. You know, so it's. I saw it. San Antonio was the best at it in the NBA Finals. They basically looked at it and said, LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, you guys are going to have to go for 40. The other guys are going to have to stay away.
Yep.
You know, when we had big games, it was hard on them. So, you know, it's one of those things where you just look at it that way. And what way do you think you can win most with? I think the way you win is you let James Harden go one-on-one, keep him off the foul line. Don't let other guys get open shots because they're not going to be involved in the offense. You see how they run their plays. Mm-hmm. You see how they play. They're not involved in the offense. Everything they're doing, they're eating off of James. And so if you take those shots away from those guys and James goes for 45 but has to shoot 40 shots,
that's
you're
going to
win
got.
The game more likely. Yep.
Yeah, I was going to ask because,
yep.
you know, generally speaking in basketball, right, we preach ball movement. We preach the extra pass. Like if you look at the way the Golden State plays, San Antonio, and that's – I mean, we're just talking about unassisted, you know, scoring here from James Harden. Is that good basketball?
Well, I mean, here's the deal. Without Chris Paul in there, they have one ball handler, right? Like now they're still getting assists because when their ball's moving, it's James Harden creating pick and rolls, which creates a trigger. You know, Clint Capella being out, I think hurts them almost more than Chris Paul.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get that rim running presence. So what they use that for is Clint and James and pick and rolls. Create a trigger. Now it becomes a domino effect where the ball starts spraying around. You run out the closeouts on Green and Gordon and those type of guys to get the ball moving. You know, right now they're still getting assists, but none of them are coming because those guys, the other guys in the team, the way they built that team, aren't guys that create shots for others. They're out there to space the floor and make shots for James, Chris Paul, and with Clint Capella rolling.
We are, of course, talking to Mike Miller, NBA champion now and assistant coach over at the University of Memphis. Mike, did Kyrie Irving also call you and apologize?
He didn't need to apologize to me, boss. That's my dude.
What did you think of that story, the fact that, like, he came out, said it publicly? I mean, obviously the gesture itself and then, you know, his decision to take it public. What did you make of all of that?
I'll be honest, you know, I'm proud of Kyrie. You know, when he came down here, I was able to spend a lot of time with him. He's one of my favorites. He used to live at my house in Cleveland. He's just a great kid. You know what that showed me is he has an appreciation now, and it's not like he doesn't like the decision he made or moved on because it's been the best thing for him. He's told me that many times. But the biggest thing for him was he appreciated, like, listen, I was a young kid who didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing, like, that was his biggest challenge, and I've said this to him 1,000 times when I talked to him. Your biggest challenge is going to be when your young team starts seeing success because they'll think they've made it.
Right.
And so those guys, what he said is 100% accurate. It's not a shot at those guys. It's just you don't know. It's the same thing we used to tell Kyrie in Cleveland. It's not a shot at you. You just don't know. And that's nothing personal. You don't know until you go through things. And so, you know, for him, it's going through that as a person who, you know, has seen it and knows how hard it is. And so it was one of those things where he, you know, probably weren't, none of us were on the conversation with him and Bron, but he was probably just thankful that he learned those things and apologized for, you know, some of the ways he went through, because you think you know. Everyone thinks they know. Believe me, I think I know. I thought I know when I got into coaching. I didn't. You know what I mean? So it's stuff you think you know that you don't know. And as you look back at it, you appreciate what you went through and who helped you go through that at the time.
Mike, I know obviously you like have a job and everything, so you probably are not as you know, invested in it as you otherwise would be. But the Memphis Grizzlies are going through it a little bit from your view.
Yeah.
And I know you haven't, like I said, probably haven't been paying attention to it as closely. But what do you think of their situation and their future?
You know, I actually have. I have paid attention to this one, obviously, because this is our city. You know, Memphis is our city. We want Grizzly basketball. We want Tiger basketball. We want everything, you know, sports-wise. They appreciate it so much here to be a part of it. So, you know, it's just tough. You know, one of those things where you get off to a hot start like they did. You know, injuries have always been a bugaboo for these guys the last 3 or 4 years. And so, you know, the one thing they've always had is they've had that core of Mike and Mark, and just when you go through things in the NBA, because the games are so quick, it's Monday, then it's Wednesday, then it's Friday, then it's Saturday. You know what I mean? Like, the games are so quick. It's really, really hard when you have a downhill or an uphill to change anything. And so, you know, for these guys, it's almost like you need a race to All-Star break. You need to take a deep breath, because it's when things are going really, really bad, like they tend to be going right now, and it's going in that direction, is they've got to find a way to make some adjustments and make a big change, but they're having a hard time doing that because of the injuries and some of the off-court things that have happened here.
Coach, real quick, as a guy who's been through it, how tough a decision do you feel like that is for Mark, of whether to opt in next year, or is it an easy one? I mean, it's $25 million, or, hey, I've got to think about my future maybe a little bit more. This could be the last one I get. Like, how tough a decision is that, Coach, as a player?
I think it's going to be just knowing Mark the way I do. Mm-hmm. And I'm definitely going to catch up with him this week and next week just to talk to him, because I know it's hard for him. I know it's hard for Mike right now. But knowing Mark as well as I do, it's going to be a very difficult decision for him, because he loves the city of Memphis. He's been invested in the city. His family is here.
Right.
You know, he wants to win so bad for the city of Memphis. But at the same time, you know, he's not getting any younger. I've been there before. It's tough. The money becomes, okay, yeah, the money's great, but, you know, look at how much he's made in the past.
Right.
And he knows that. He's a smart guy. And so, you know, he's got to put everything in perspective. He's got to sit down, take deep breaths. Don't make any rash decisions. Just trust what he wants. What's the most important thing to him and his family? And I think he'll make the right decision, but it's a tough one for sure.
Is Jaren Jackson a future superstar?
I think so. I think Jaren, you know, I didn't know much about him. We've had this discussion off air, obviously, about Jaren. I didn't, you know, he was a hard one. I think all Michigan State guys are hard ones to tab, because they play a certain style. You don't get to see a whole lot.
Yep.
But he was one of those guys that showed you about 15% of who he was in college. And I think they did a great job with him. I think he has a chance to be really, really, really special. You know, and listen, whether they win a lot of games or not this year, it's been a win for them, because Jaren Jackson has got to see what it's like to be under Marc Gasol and with Mike Conley. They got the right pros to help him. And so, you know, your future's bright because of that. Now your job is to make sure you fill it around with guys going forward in the future that are on the same line of success in the future going with Jaren Jackson, because he's the guy, Mike Conley, and obviously Marc Gasol. If you keep those three together, it just helps Jaren Jackson's growth, but has a chance to be a really special future because of that.
And then when I ask you, Tennessee is now the new number one in the AP top 25. Obviously, you saw them here in Memphis. Deserving?
Listen, they're a really, really good basketball team. And they got a lot of veteran guys. They're tough. They play hard. Yeah, I think they're deserving. I mean, you know, on top of that, they played against, you know, a lot of good teams, and they fared well against them. And so, you know, I think they are deserving of it, as much as that pains me to say sometimes. they do a great job.
Yeah.
They've earned it, and they do a great job. I mean, you tip your hat off to guys that do a great job. Coach Barnes does a great job over there. He does. Their players, they've been together for a long time, and they play a certain style, and they're tough. And they've done it against great teams. I mean, look at the teams they played and beat, and even the teams they got beat by. I mean, they're a really, really good basketball team. You know, and so you got to tip your hat to it. They deserved it.
I mean, absolutely. And I think especially that win at Florida, especially a couple weeks ago.
What are we doing here? I don't know why he's doing this to you. Jason, will you take this show over, Jason?
That was as
impressive a win as I think they've, you know, gotten all year, obviously, here in Memphis. And then let me ask you before we get you out of here. I would be remiss if I didn't ask you, what's the latest on Let It Fly? We haven't talked to you about it.
Listen, it's in construction phase. We're excited about it. I mean, we really are. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And, you know, it's slowly but surely getting put up. We want to make sure it's done right for the people here.
Yeah, man, it's going to change some things. I can't wait. Coach, you're the best.
Coach,
appreciate it as always.
Thank you for this. Next time I'll take control, Coach. Thank you, man.
Thanks, pal. I appreciate it. Y'all have a good one.
You too, brother. Thank you.
Is Mike Miller, University of Memphis basketball assistant coach. Always good catching up with him.
Oh, man, he's awesome.
Yeah.
Appreciate his time.
You know, definitely do appreciate his time. All right, we'll come back. Tony Romo is a – he's like the Woj on draft night of NFL broadcasting. because he just he predicts everything before it happens.
We could all, you know, aspire to be as good as our jobs as Tony Romo is at his now.
It's depressing. It's amazing. It's depressing is what it is to me. Because it's you can't. Like, every okay, Jason Witten played football, dude. A lot of these guys in the booth played football.
Yeah, but
they can't telegraph the play. You know what I mean? Like, they can't call it out.
QBs do that. Jason Witten was used to somebody telling them what the play was going to be.
Yeah, but he still had to study it. Like, he still knew formations.
Well, that's, and some just aren't as good a communicator.
That's the thing. It's like, it's just not, you know, not everybody. Just because you play football doesn't mean you can do that. You know what I mean? Anyway, we'll get into that a little bit later. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Okay, rolling.
Guests appear on the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Hotline.
Broadcasting on 92.9, 680 AM and online at 92.9ESPN.com. This is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wing Guru, only on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Z's by Michael Zellner is where you know you're always going to save between 50 and 80% off mattresses and furniture every day of the week, including today. So as you know, Michael's been in the business for over 18 years, and Sleepy Z's has an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau as a result. They've been voted Memphis Most Best Mattress Store for 4 years running by the Commercial Appeal, and that ain't going to end anytime soon.
That's right, and they're an authorized Serta Mattress and Simmons Beauty Sleep Mattress Dealer. You want to get good sleep, go to Sleepy Z's. And they sell and specialize in the Serta Perfect Sleeper and the Serta Eye Comfort and the Beautyrest Silver and Platinum. And now they've also got the Beautyrest Black line, too. That means they've got everything when it comes to getting good sleep. Michael Zellner's going to hook you up. When you get in there, you're going to tell him, hey, I heard it on Jason and John. You're giving out the discounts. Michael's going to give you an additional 10% off. That's how cool he is. He wants you to sleep well. They're located at 2790 Kirby Witten Road at the corner of Summer Avenue right next to Hollywood Feed. Or you can visit them online at SleepyZZZS.com. Sleepy Z's by Michael Zellner, where you never wake up on the wrong side of the bed, baby.
All right. Thanks to Mike Miller for joining us there in that last segment. He had the scout, by the way, on the SMU game, which was, again, a resounding victory for the Tigers. I mean, the reality is if your goal is to get a first-round bye, you got to take care of teams like SMU, who are in the middle, right?
Middle and short, a very important player, as you pointed out earlier, in Jarae Foster. And you could see that they missed him. So, yes, you need to, and particularly because it's at home. We've said it's going to be tough this year, much tougher than we thought, winning on the road in the AAC. You even heard Mike talking about that when John asked him about things he'd learned in his first year. It's going to be tough to win on the road in the AAC, so you got to protect home court. Need to beat teams like SMU. The good thing for them was the fashion in which they did. Wasn't a close game, as John said. Complete for the most part from start to finish on both ends. Both offensively and defensively. And for me, the big key was something Mike pointed out. The way they'd been killed on the offensive glass of late, and for them, the defensive glass, obviously, you needed to get that. You needed to get that fixed. And you give up 12 offensive rebounds. SMU only turns it into 5 second chance points. That's a win. Keep in mind, Tulane and East Carolina both had gotten 19 against Memphis, and most of their offense had been second chance points. So you shut that down. And you continue to play pretty well offensively. Probably with the way you're sharing that ball, that's a season-high 24 assists on those 33 made baskets. As good as you've played offensively, just in terms of sharing and everybody sort of getting their food, everybody eating, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. So, big win.
Enjoy your food.
There you go. Bennett tickled you with that one. That was well-placed drop there, sir.
That clip, man, that clip is it never fails. It never fails to make me laugh hysterically.
Okay. Enjoy your food.
That's what Jeremiah Martin was saying to them fools as he was dishing out them that career high tying 11 assists. Do it again then.
What was he saying? What was Jeremiah Martin saying, Jason? I'm confused. What was he saying?
Enjoy your food.
Yeah. That's what he was doing as he was feeding his teammates last night, though, two nights ago.
Well, was he feeding them hot salty fries or more of a Whopper?
He was feeding them hot, salty fries, brother, right where they wanted them.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Grab one, fellas. Nobody will miss
it. That was Jeremiah Martin. That was Jeremiah Martin on Saturday. Grab one,
fellas. Get your bucket. 11 assists again for Jeremiah Martin. Only 8 points. So he was more concerned with the
SMU came with that fillet of fish effort, huh?
Yeah.
They kind of came with the fillet of fish.
I thought Jankovic kind of filleted a fish. You know, he waited till 30 minutes, until they're down 13 nothing to call a timeout. I know there had been a media timeout in there, but he waits late. By that time, they're, you know, SMU didn't score on its first 14 possessions.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive, yeah.
That's nasty.
Now, Jarae Foster's a big-time player for them, but he's only averaging 7 a game.
Like, I wouldn't say, like, big-time player. Like,
well, I mean, he's a senior.
He's a big-time glue guy, senior guy, and stuff runs through him.
Yeah, he ain't a 30-point difference.
They
guy.
Had their fourth leading scorer in the AAC and Jamal McMurray, which Memphis obviously did a great job on. What, he only had 8 points, I think, on 2 of 12 shooting. Excuse me, 6 points. So you hold him about 12 below his average. We know Penny likes to, when it comes to, you know, scouting these other teams and shutting them down when it comes to the scouting report, he likes to look at other teams' best player and wants to hold them below their scoring average. It's just the way fundamentally he approaches coaching defense, and they did that with the fourth leading scorer in the AAC and Jamal McMurray. Did a pretty good job on Witt Jr. too.
Yeah, all right, we'll come back. Lots to get to in the rundown, including the wizardry of Tony Romo. We'll get to that. Also, there's a new number one in college basketball, and they're right here in the state of Tennessee. All that and more when we come back. Jason and John on DTRN FM, ESPN.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.